of the economic headlines that we've been hearing from Femi and reading about, seeing on television and hearing on the radio, it's been easy to miss other things that are happening in this country, perhaps especially in Minnesota and Florida, where there are two huge stories involving massive accusations of fraud, embezzlement, and international political shenanigans. Well, we're going to get a little more on those stories. We welcome right now Nancy Barnes, the Senior Vice President and Editor of the Star Tribune in Minneapolis-St. Paul, and John Yearwood, World Editor at the Miami Herald. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Let's start with you, Nancy, there in Minneapolis-St. Paul. A federal judge has called this case possibly the greatest fraud scheme in American history, and that's some really strong language. Tell us about this case.
This is a really jaw-dropping story. A couple of weeks ago, about 80 federal agents, tax authorities, et cetera, raided the headquarters of Tom Petters, who's a big figure here in Minnesota, businessman, investor in Sun Country Airlines, Polaroid, et cetera. And over the course of the last couple of weeks, it has unfolded that he has allegedly been running what appears to be one of the largest Ponzi schemes in history, involving fleecing investors of up to $3 billion.
The numbers are stunning. We're talking about allegations of a scheme that went on for 13 years, and allegedly two of his accomplices have confessed?
Several people have confessed. One woman who worked for him for nearly a decade started this off apparently just a month ago, walked in and confessed to authorities and then was their informer on this.
Because, Nancy, that's really one of the twists here. It's not as if investigators stumbled upon this scheme. It was because somebody told them about it.
That's right.
Huh.
What's astonishing is how long this has gone on, 13 years, how many the people who have been hurt by this include anything from, you know, little grandmas in Texas to some of the biggest businessmen in Minnesota. And then there are a number of people who willingly went along with this for years and knew about it.
Oh, I'm sure this is ruffling a few feathers there in Minnesota. But let's go to John in Florida and Miami. Now, you're talking about international intrigue there. You got Venezuela, Bolivia, and Argentina, and allegations of a suitcase full of hundreds of thousands of dollars. What's happening?
Well, for years now, we've been getting information from our sources throughout Latin America that the colorful president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, has been very much engaged in using his petrodollars to influence elections around the region. Well, we started getting a sense of that about a year ago when in Argentina, a suitcase containing about $790,000 was discovered or seized at the airport coming in on a private plane carried by a guy called Alejandro Antonini. Antonini happens to live here in South Florida, and he was going into Argentina with a number of businessmen. Well, the story probably would have ended there and been localized to Argentina and Venezuela had he not fled Argentina shortly after he left the airport and returned home to South Florida. And then he did an unusual thing. He called the FBI because, as we're finding out in the court proceeding that's going on now, he was concerned, or actually more feared, that the Venezuelan government will send people over to influence him. And it seems to be, based on the testimony that's coming out, that may exactly be what they did. One of the guys who is on trial right now, his name is Franklin Duran, actually the main guy on trial, apparently came over from Venezuela, and he has been, according to testimony, trying to influence Antonini. And in doing that, the FBI had been listening to the phone calls and other meetings between Alejandro Antonini and Duran. And during these phone calls, they've discovered a whole slew of engagements between whether it's the Venezuelan government and Argentina. And ultimately, what we're finding out is that the money was intended for Cristina Kirchner, who at the time was running for president of Argentina. Eventually, of course, Cristina won the election, but there's a lot of intrigue that's left, and it's really fascinating.
And certainly lots of dominoes, but really quickly, I want you to get to, that's not the only one story making big headlines for you there, but also the aftermath of hurricane season. What's happening on that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've been running stories from both Cuba and Haiti. And in fact, we had a major story on the front page this morning from inside Cuba looking at the housing damage that these various storms did. It's far more extensive than people had thought. And it happened in a place where housing was already squeezed. And in Haiti, what we're seeing is that the devastation from four back-to-back storms have left hundreds dead. And a town called Gonaives essentially without functioning authority in Gonaives.
Two very big stories there. But Nancy, let me go back to you. It's interesting that Petter's case, I can imagine, is something that a lot of people have opinions about. How do you think that story is going to play into how in Minnesota, you're talking about a very tight presidential race, how is it going to play into the campaign season, you think?
You know, I don't know if it's going to – I have a hard time seeing it affecting the presidential race. However, where I think it plays in is it just continues to fuel people's anger.
Right.
What we're seeing here, and I'm sure in other states in the last couple of weeks, is just a lot of people just angry about what's happened with the economy, angry about, you know, the mess on Wall Street, mad about, you know, businessmen, particularly CEOs and their pay levels and walking away with money while everybody else is suffering. And here's an example again of, you know, if he's guilty of everything that he's accused of, somebody who's taking money from everybody else in order to fuel his own rich lifestyle. And I think that just contributes to the anger people feel, to how that plays out and how they vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't tell you.
Oh, no, it's certainly been an unusual year. Very quickly, John, you get the last word here. Lots of anger there, too, that you're seeing?
Oh, absolutely. On the part of a number of people, and on a number of levels.
Mm-hmm.
Not only on some of the stories that we've been reporting on. And by the way, we've also be remiss if I said we have been covering the economic meltdown.
Oh, of course, yes.
In a huge way, because as you know, here in South Florida, ground zero of the real estate collapse.
Yeah, the housing collapse. So you are very busy down there in Miami. John Yearwood,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us. John Yearwood, the world editor at the Miami Herald. And Nancy Barnes, thank you very much also.
My pleasure.
Nancy Barnes, editor and senior vice president at the Star Tribune.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.